Thank you so much for joining us today in this online presentation of this week's sermon. This week is especially important as we near Easter. We are in Easter season. We are looking for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we're going to be celebrating that as we also study about the sacrifice that He made for us over this next week. And so, in preparation of next week, I want to ask you to join me in a couple of things, and then I want to make a huge announcement, a very important announcement. So I'm going to ask you to join me in preparation for Easter Sunday to join with me in fasting every single day during Passion Week this week, to join with me in fasting at least one meal a day, whether it be breakfast, lunch, or dinner, whichever one. And maybe this can be a family thing, and you can spend that hour that you would normally use in preparing your meals or eating your meals, and instead of spending that time in God's Word. And we're going to actually give you the ability to use a devotion that we're going to be using, and that prayerfully our whole church will be using over the next week. And so here's how you get it. You can either go to our website, and there will be a place where you can download the PDF of the devotion, and there's going to be a devotion for every single day for this week. Or if you want to email me, I can email you directly the PDF file that will contain the devotions for every day. And so if you would like for me to email that to you, please email me first. If you will just email me, I will reply with the attachment for that PDF file, and you can get it and print it or look at it from your tablet or your computer or your phone that way. And so here's my email address. It's pastorandy@pvbcprior.com. Again, that's pastorandy@pvbc, Pleasant View Baptist Church, Pryor.com. And if you email me, I will get you that PDF file sent out to you directly. Again, it will be on our website at pvbcprior.com, and you can download that PDF file there. So please join with us as we fast at least one meal a day, and in preparation for Easter, spending time in devotion, in a devotion that's pointing us towards the great and awesome salvation that we find in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and in His resurrection. And then, so join with me as we do that. And here's the big announcement. I hope you're ready. I hope you're listening close. But next week, this next Sunday, Easter Sunday, we are going to actually be able to join together. We are going to come together as a church. And if you're listening to this and you're not a member of Pleasant View Baptist Church, you are invited. We want you to come and join with us at our church. And we would love to invite you into our sanctuary and be welcomed by handshakes and hugs and high fives and all that stuff. Unfortunately, that can't happen this week, but we do want to invite you to our drive-up Easter service this next Sunday, starting at 11 o'clock. You can come to our church. We're going to have men out there that will help you get parked so that we can stay separated and germ-free during this process, and then we're going to have the ability to be able to broadcast over an FM signal, so you'll be able to listen to the sermon and the live music and the live sermon on an FM signal in your car. We'll also have speakers and a sound system there that where we're going to be projecting that worship service as well. But we want to keep you safe, but we also want to make Easter very special, and I think this is going to be a very special time. So please come. It starts at 11 o'clock. I'm going to suggest that you get there around 10, so where we can get everybody positioned and parked so that we can get as many people into our parking lot at one time. And then the other special announcement is we're going to be taking communion. And this is going to be an interesting thing. It's going to be, we're being very careful, and we're actually taking extreme precautions, and we are actually going to be taking communion together that day. And so you're going to get a little packet when you get there that will provide you with the elements for communion that day. And so we're so very excited about that. So please come out. If you don't know where our church is, we are right outside of Pryor. Our address is 2243 South 426 Road, Pryor, Oklahoma, 74361. And if you can come out and find us, we would love to have you. It's going to be such a great day of worship. And I can't wait, even if it's going to be through your windshields, I can't wait to see your smiling faces and to be able to preach and to worship. It's going to be such a great day. And so be a part of that. Again, that's Easter Sunday. We're going to be getting there around 10 to get positioned for our service at 11. So be a part of that, and I'll remind you of that at the end of the service today. We are, again, this is Palm Sunday, and we are excited to be able to look at Palm Sunday and the significance of Palm Sunday. As I was reading about Palm Sunday in all four of the Gospels, that triumphant entry that Jesus makes into the city is recorded in all four of the Gospels. And so if you would like, please go back and read those. Each one of the Gospel writers brings out specific things about the triumphant entry that maybe one of the other ones didn't bring out, just from a different perspective. And together, all four of those Gospels really bring a beautiful, complete picture of what happened on that day. So our focal passage is going to be out of Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to look at the triumphant entry there in Matthew 21. But before that, I feel like John introduces the triumphant entry in the best way, in a beautiful way, in a convicting way. And a convicting way, in a way that really reshapes the way that we see the entry of Jesus. And so, join with me. Keep your finger in Matthew, but turn over to John chapter 12, and we're going to read several passages of Scripture there, at starting in verse 1, that really beautifully outlines and introduces what happens in the triumphant entry. So join with me. Just keep this in mind as you're turning there. Keep this in mind. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, just miraculously brought him back from the dead, and so there, Lazarus and the friends of Jesus are all in their house, and they're celebrating and they're spending time together. And that's kind of the context of this passage. But listen to what this says in John chapter 12. It says, John chapter 12, verse 1 says this: 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Lazarus, the one who had been dead, is now alive and sitting at the table with Jesus. What an awesome thing. So Martha served, and Lazarus was the one reclining at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Listen to this, and this is such a beautiful picture of worship. Listen to what it says. The house was filled with the perfume, or the fragrance of the perfume. I want to read that again. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. as Mary was worshiping Jesus, as Mary had laid all of her pride and all of her inhibitions, all of those, she didn't care about what everybody else was saying. She knelt down before her Savior. She broke this bottle of precious, costly perfume and ointment, and she began to anoint Jesus with this expensive perfume, this pure nard. And what a beautiful picture as Mary is pouring this expensive ointment upon Jesus' feet and wiping his feet with her hair. And I love that passage. It can skip by us so easily, but I love that passage where it says, "And the room, the house, was filled with the fragrance of the perfume." Let me just stop and ask you for a moment, is that what your worship is like? We're entering the Easter season where we should be totally 100% focused on worshiping our Savior and just in appreciation for what His salvation does for us and the sacrifice that He made so that we might have salvation. What does your worship look like? Can it be said that your worship, the aroma of your worship, the noise of your worship, the devotion of your worship, your worship fills your house? Gosh, I can't think of a better time in any other time in my history in the 44 years that our worship should be filling our homes, because we're stuck here, right? We're stuck in our homes and man, worship should be filling our homes just as the fragrance of the perfume filled their house there on that day as Mary anointed Jesus' feet. What a beautiful, beautiful way to start Palm Sunday, realizing that Jesus is beyond worthy of our worship and beyond worthy of our praise. What a mighty Savior we have. What a mighty God we serve. And so I thought that's the passage that we have to start with today. As we began to look at the triumphant entry of Jesus into the city, and what we need to realize is that Jesus was intentionally walking into the city to give his life for us. That he in full knowledge was going to be entering the city, and that he was going to be walking every single step and every single day towards his death upon the cross. And so celebrate today. Worship him today, because he purposefully and intentionally gave his life for you. Gosh, we could almost stop right there, just spend time just meditating on those truths. But join with me, turn back to Matthew chapter 21. After we read this beautiful passage of worship, we begin to watch as and listen as Jesus enters the city. And in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, we're going to find some symbolism here that is significant for Palm Sunday and specifically for what Jesus was walking into and what he was about to do. And so in Matthew chapter 21, I want you to listen for symbols, listen for things that might stick out to you that might seem significant, and see if you can begin to pick them out even maybe before I mention them. But listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 through 11. "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord needs them," and he will send them at once. Then this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the beast of burden." Then the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks and he sat on them. Most of the crowds spread their cloaks on the road. Listen, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches with trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" The crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus, the Nazareth of Galilee." And so we see some very important, significant things in this passage. The first that we find is the colt. Or the colt of the donkey. And so this seems like something that would be very insignificant. Most of the time, we don't find Jesus riding a horse or a donkey, or his only mode of transportation that we see very consistently were his feet. He walked everywhere he went, and a few times we would find him in a boat. But this time, he calls his disciples to go into the city and find a donkey. So what's the significance of this colt that Jesus rode into the city? There's a few significant things, very important things that we need to look at. One, that this would not be a common mode of transportation for a king. This would not be something that would you would normally find someone of great importance riding in on a donkey. This would not be something. You could look at this and say that the miracle is that Jesus is riding an unbroken colt, the colt that has never been ridden. That's pretty miraculous in itself, but I don't think that's the main thing here. I think that the significance of this donkey, this colt, is really summed up in the culture of the time. A king during times of war. And we know that the Jews were under the power of the Roman Empire, and so the Jews were looking for this militant king to come and to lead them out of captivity and to defeat the Roman Empire. And so they were looking for this militant king. And a king in these times that was coming to declare war would be riding on a stallion. They would be riding on a horse that would show their power, right? And so he would a king that was coming to declare war would be coming on a mighty steed, and he would be declaring something specific that he was coming to do war. But Jesus didn't come on a mighty steed. He didn't come on a stallion. He didn't come on a big horse, but instead he rides this little colt into the city. The first thing that we need to understand is that it was prophesied in Zechariah, and it spoke of that in this passage. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so it was a fulfillment of Scripture, but it also meant something very, very important. He was sending the message that he was coming in a gentle, humble way. He was coming riding a symbol of gentleness and of peace. A king that would be at a time of peace and of kingdom would not ride his horse of war, but would actually ride a donkey. That would signify a time of peace in his kingdom. And Jesus was doing that very thing, that Jesus was riding into the city gently, humbly, on this colt, bringing peace. Jesus was bringing peace You might be wondering, what is peaceful about the cross? What is peaceful about the brutality of this execution that Jesus was looking forward to? Nothing was peaceful about it, but Jesus was coming to bring peace through the cross, that Jesus was coming to bring peace to all mankind that would accept him, that would accept his salvation. So the donkey was the first symbol that we need to look at, and it shows us that Jesus was coming humbly, that he was coming gently, and that he was bringing peace. We'll see another symbol of peace here in a minute. The next thing, as we see, is as Jesus was coming into the city riding on this donkey, the people spread their cloaks or their coats, their outer garments, on the ground. This would be a common practice for people of great honor, people of royalty, important people. And so as a king or someone of great power would enter to show honor and submission and authority, or to respect their authority, they would lay their coats on the ground before them so that they could walk upon their coats. This was a common practice then, and it would show the importance of the person that was entering. We see that out of respect and out of honor of the person of royalty, they would lay their coats down, and that's exactly what they were doing for Jesus. It's a picture that them laying their coats in submission to his authority and recognition of his royalty. They were laying their coats before him and laying them down as he entered into the city. So the cloaks was number two. Very significant as it points to his royalty. The next really important thing that we find in the passage is the palm leaves. And that's why we call it Palm Sunday. The palm leaves were a very important part and was an important symbol of the day. The palm leaves would have a meaning. The meaning would be peace. But again, the peace that they were in celebration of could only come by war, right? The shedding of blood, and that blood, the shedding of that blood, is going to be Jesus's blood. Jesus was coming to bring peace, but he was going to have to shed his blood. He was going to have to die to bring that peace. And we find, not just in this part of the passage, but in other passages in Scripture, we find the very significant things about palm branches. In Revelation chapter 7 and verses 9, starting in verse 9, if you want to look there, or if you want to write that down and look it up later, it speaks of the great multitude of every nation, of every tribe, of every country, all coming together in worship of the Savior. And listen to what it says. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, speaking of Jesus, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Listen to what that says. And crying out with loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." What an awesome, awesome passage of Scripture. And so when these people were waving their palm branches before Jesus and placing them at his feet, they were waving these palm branches in front of him to celebrate the peace that he was going to bring. The palms being waved points to Jesus coming to be a conquering king. And they were waving them probably, most likely, so that to signify his conquering kingship, to over the Roman Empire, but Jesus was coming to solve a more important problem, to solve the important problem of sin, to free them from the bondage of sin, to free us from the bondage of sin. In Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 6, it's such a beautiful passage. I say beautiful, it's really just a real raw picture of who Jesus is. Listen to what it says. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should behold, should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yes, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Again, upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you hear that? The chastisement that brought us peace. I would be confident in saying that the people that were waving the branches had no idea what Jesus was about to do for them. They had no idea that the peace that passes all understanding was coming in this violent way as Jesus dying upon the cross, but the victorious way that Jesus defeated death for us in the resurrection. So the palm leaves that were waved before Jesus represented peace. So far we've got the colt of the donkey that signified his humbleness, his gentleness. The cloaks being laid before him represented his royalty and his importance and his authority and our submission to that authority. The palm leaves represents the peace that Jesus brings as he defeats death for us, and he defeats the consequences and takes on the consequences of sin, the chastisement that brought us peace. And then finally, the last but not least, was the declaration that the people were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." They were declaring, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna is an expression of adoration, of praise, of joy. This would be a common word used during the Passover time for Thanksgiving and for the deliverance that God had brought the Israelites. And so Hosanna would be a phrase that would be commonly used during this time of the Passover, where they would be declaring their thanksgiving, that they would be spending time thanking God for their deliverance from Egypt and their promised land. Into their promised land. And so Hosanna would be something important. We see it's really important here as they're expressing their adoration and their praise for Jesus, and they declare, they say, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And what a great passage of scripture. But if we look specifically at what they're saying, we understand that they are declaring that Jesus, look back in verse 9. "And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David.'" Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, later on in one of the Gospels, there's a discussion of how is David Jesus' father, and if he is, then why does David call him Lord? And we understand that now, looking back, that we understand that Jesus was coming through the line of David for the purpose of salvation, and so we understand that. But they were looking for someone from the line of David, and so that's why they were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And so finally, I bet if we were able to just spend some time thinking and meditating on what was going on in this moment, I bet the disciples were saying in to themselves and were looking at each other, maybe they even said it out loud, "Finally, finally, the people are getting it. Finally, the people see Jesus the way we see Jesus. Finally, they're seeing him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Finally, they're recognizing him. Finally, Jesus is getting the recognition that he deserves." It wasn't long before this that Peter, in his declaration of who Jesus was, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So we know that the disciples were getting it, and I bet at this moment they were so proud and they were so excited as Jesus was entering and finally getting the reception that he should have gotten all along. I hope you see the importance of the symbolism that we see in these passages. The donkey, Jesus comes humbly and gently, riding a symbol of eternal peace and not earthly war. The symbol of the cloaks being laid before him as Jesus was and is royalty. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We should respect, honor, and submit to him and to his authority. The palm branches waved before him. Jesus came to bring peace. Jesus did not come to conquer the Roman Empire or the government or to start a war, but instead Jesus came to bring peace to his creation by dying on the cross for our sins. And then finally, the declaration of the crowds, "Hosanna, Hosanna." As they shouted "Hosanna," they were speaking of, and maybe even not even meaning to, but speaking of the worthiness of Jesus, that Jesus is worthy of worship. What are some ways that you can show your love and your worship to Jesus in this Easter season? Maybe it's time spent this next week fasting, setting our physical need aside for a spiritual purpose. Maybe it's spending time in his word. Maybe it's a renewed love for his word, a passion for the scripture. Or maybe it's ways that you can find to serve others in the name of Jesus, that you can be the hands and feet of Jesus this week. Those are ways that you can show your love and worship to Jesus this Easter season. Or maybe you can ask, what are some ways that you can lay down your coat to show respect and submission to Jesus? Maybe there's some things in your life that you have just not been willing to lay down in submission to him, and you need to lay those things down to him. Maybe you need to give him your future. Maybe you need to give him your finances. Maybe you need to give him your relationships and your priorities and lay them down like they were laying their coats in submission to his authority. Or maybe you can sing songs as a family. I spent some time in chapel this week with Bradford talking about how they could sit down and they could write a love letter to Jesus and tell Jesus how much that they love him, and just make a prayer journal for this week. Whatever it is that you can do to honor Jesus that would symbolize your gratitude and your love for him, do it this week. Focus on him. Just for a moment, I want you to think about people that might have been in that crowd. Can you think back through the people that might have been there? Those people that might have been touched by Jesus. I was thinking about this and thinking about the demon-possessed man, that no one had wanted anything to do with him, the man that had been ran out, cast out of the city, and was living in the tombs, in the graveyard. And they had tried to chain him, and Jesus, in his encounter with Jesus, was made whole, was the demons were cast out of him, and he was clothed and sitting in his right mind with Jesus and his disciples around the fire. Or what about the centurion and his servant? That the centurion sent word to Jesus, "Jesus, if you will just say the words, I know my servant will be healed." And Jesus remarked about his great faith. Maybe it hit the centurion was there. Or maybe the paralyzed man that had been taken to his place to beg for money every single day. And he would lay there in this hopeless state and beg for money every single day so that he might eat and he might survive. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Get up, take up your mat and go home." Maybe it was the paralyzed man was there to see Jesus as he entered the city. I would venture to say he would have no problem saying Hosanna to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Or maybe the widow and the widow's son, as Jesus raised the widow's son from the dead, right? And ruined a perfectly good funeral. As he raised the widow's son from the dead and gave her back her son. What if the widow and her son were there? Or the woman with the issue of blood, that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. I would be made clean. I would be able to worship again. I would be able to go back and do the things at the temple that I can do. Or the blind, the mute, the deaf. Well, what about the man with leprosy? The man with leprosy that had probably not been touched in years because of his leprous condition. And in his encounter with Jesus, Jesus touches him and makes him whole. I bet if that man was in that crowd, he would have proclaimed to Jesus, "Hosanna, Hosanna." What about the invalid at Bethesda's pool? Or Zacchaeus that climbed up in the tree for the Lord he wanted to see, and Jesus came to his house? Or maybe the woman at the well, the woman that was cast down before his feet, and the Pharisees and the religious people around says, "What will you do with her? She has been committing adultery, with stones ready to kill her." And he stops them and he says, "You without sin cast the first stone." What if they were there? I don't know if they were, but they definitely saw a different side of Jesus, right? They saw the miraculous power of Jesus. And today, I want you to know something, that you can be one of those that proclaim Hosanna to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you can live a life of worship to Him in this week, in this life, that you can declare your devotion. You can lay down your acts of worship and praise to Him and declare Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords of your life. I hope you'll do that this week. If you would like to talk through rededicating your life, I would love to talk to you, but it's just simply giving your heart back to Him. And just saying, "Jesus, I've not followed you the way that I should. I have not done the things that I should have in my life, and I haven't been following you the way that I should, and I want to dedicate my life again to following you." Or maybe you've never followed Jesus. You don't have his salvation. You never experienced the salvation power of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Today is the day of your salvation. Give your life to him today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and be your Savior and be your Lord. Let me pray for you today. Let God do his thing in you this week. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you so much again for this day. And we just pray that you would just have your will and your way in us. And God, as we see the symbols of Palm Sunday, and we see the significance of those symbols and how they're still significant to us today as Jesus came humbly and gently to be our Savior, and how Jesus came to bring peace, and how Jesus that Jesus is a royalty, and that Jesus desires our worship. He deserves our worship. He's beyond worthy. God, we thank you. God, remind us of that as we spend time fasting and praying this week, as we spend time in your word. God, I pray that you would just reveal yourself to us, that through this season, that we might come closer to you. God, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining with us today. And I look so forward to meeting with you, with our church family, next week on Easter Sunday at our drive-up service, Easter service at 11 o'clock. Don't forget, be there a little bit early so we can get you adjusted and put in spots so that we can get the most people into our parking area so we can have church. I'm ready to have church with you guys again. Don't forget to email me, PastorAndy@pvbcprior.com, if you would like a devotion for this week, as you fast with me at least one meal a day and spend time in devotion. Make sure that you're doing that this week. If you can also get that from the website at pvbcprior.com. Thank you so much. I love you. I can't wait to see you, even if it's through a windshield this next week. You have a great day, and I'll be praying for you.